afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you at Good Tidings, and I've been enjoying all that has taken place. I really enjoy the worship and whatever has gone on thus far. Now, you know, the Spirit have a way of revealing things to God's people, and you know, flesh and blood did not reveal to Brother Grant that he should give the announcement that don't touch this mic. Because I sat down there and I started to try and determine what position I was going to put it in. No joke, I'm telling you. So that was for me. The other thing is, you know, I thought Good Tidings started your worship meeting at 10:30, just like we do at Bethany. So I dropped off my wife at Bethany at 10 o'clock, and I took my leisure to drive down. So when I came and I saw all these cars parked, I said, the saints of Good Tidings seem as if they're early for church. That's good. That's wonderful. So I walked in, and I heard singing. So I said to her sister, what time does the meeting start? She says, 10 o'clock. I said, oh. So my apologies. I was late for the service, but I thought it was going to be 10:30. But we give the Lord thanks that we're here today. It's as we have been saying, it's the last Sunday in this year. And God has been faithful to us throughout the year that has passed. And we have been in his presence and have seen the hand of God working on our behalf in so many different ways. And at Bethany, and I bring you greetings from Bethany. Good Tidings has been very, very instrumental in helping us through our troubles. We have troubles, but the Lord has been faithful. You know, there was a year when our parking lot was so broken that it could not be cleaned. The snow could not be cleaned from it. And we says, Lord, how are we going to deal with this? So we, you know, asked for someone to give us an estimate, and they said it would be $35,000 to do the parking lot. Well, we didn't have $35,000, so we decided to sit down amongst ourselves and see if we could do the work ourselves. Well, the long and short of it, we did the work ourselves. It cost us $8,000. Yes, that's what happened. And there were some gifted givers in Bethany who, when they saw the work, they released the funds. And God blessed the work. And we have seen several different things like that happening. You know, when I got to Bethany, well, I've been here for 17 years, I must tell you. And the building was in such a bad state that the insurance company charges $25,000 a year because of the various problems that were there. And the Lord, you know, helped us, and you helped us too, you know, sending in resources and so on. And when we got rid of the violations, we went back to the insurance company. And they said, well, we have to come. We have to do an assessment. So they came, and they did the assessment. They even went through our books. They wanted to see our financial records. For what? I think they wanted to see if the contractors that we used were registered contractors. They were a real problem, you know. Anyway, they came, and at the end of all this, it was cut down from $25,000 to $12,000. We needed a new boiler. The old boiler. One Sunday morning, we were in church praising the Lord, and we heard the fire truck outside. So what's going on? The boiler was sending out so much smoke that the neighbors called the fire department, and they came, and the service was shut down. They shut down the service. Anyway, the Lord gave us a new boiler, and we used to pay like about $12,000 a year for just the winter season. And the first year that the gas boiler, because we had oil before. First year we used a gas boiler, we saved $7,000. The bill is $5,000. God is good. God is good. God is good. Now, this morning, I have a message for you which God has laid on my heart. And it's a very challenging message. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 9. And I'm going to read a passage for you. We had one verse read to us. We're going to read the passage. Ezekiel chapter 9. And we're going to do some other readings and see what it is that the Lord has laid, as the Lord will have us speak about this morning. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, "Let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand." And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's ink horn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub. The glory had departed, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's ink horn at his side. And the Lord said to him, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it." To the others he said in my hearing, "Go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eye spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women. But do not come near anyone in whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary." So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, "Defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out." And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone. And I fell on my face and I cried out and said, "Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel in pouring out your fury on Jerusalem?" Then he said to me, "The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great. And the land is full of bloodshed and the city full of perversity. For they say the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. And as for me also, my eye will not spare, nor will I have pity, but I recompense their deeds on their own head." Just then the man clothed with linen, who had the ink horn at his side, reported back and said, "I have done this as you have commanded." Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 17. "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" I just want us to read one more passage. Hosea, book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1. "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land would mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away." Our God and our Father, we ask for your guidance as we look into your word. Lord, we pray that you bless your word to our hearts. We pray and ask this, giving thanks in your precious name. Amen. When I came here 17 years ago, I was so excited about the fishing in New York. And I quickly found Sheepshead Bay, and I started to go out on the boat, and I would go and catch fish, and I'd bring home fish, and there was so much fish that we had to buy a freezer to put a fish. 17 years later, I'm going out, and I'm coming back empty-handed. Not once, not twice, many times. The same fish that I used to catch, they're no longer there. So what is going on? For 3 years now, there's a particular fish that was always in abundance in New York waters. They haven't come. What's going on? There is an organization called the Gun Violence Archive. And on the 25th of December this year, they said that there were 406 mass shootings in the United States. More than one per day. Mass shootings. What is a mass shooting? A mass shooting is where more than four people are killed except the shooter. Just yesterday, a rabbi was having a function at his home. He was celebrating with some of his fellow Jews. And someone went in with a long knife and stabbed five of them. You have multiplied your slain in this city, and you have filled the streets with the slain. There's blood shed upon bloodshed. The land is filled with the crimes of blood, and the city is full of violence. Those are not my words. It's the word of the Lord. So God was very upset with what was going on then. So let me ask you a question. Is God upset with what's going on now? Is he upset that people are being murdered, innocent people, by demonic forces of hell who have empowered men and women to carry out these murders? God is upset. But is God upset at the murderers alone? Or is he upset at another set of people? He said in Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4, go, Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4, and he called a man clothed with linen, with an inkhorn, and said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who do what? Sigh and cry. Today the message I'm bringing to you is two words. Sigh and cry. Put a hand, three words. Sigh and cry. Because God expects his people to sigh and cry over the abominations that is taking place in the land. Oh yes. He expects us to sigh and cry. And for those who sigh and cry, he has put a mark on them. And he says, I will not judge you. But those who don't have the mark, I will judge you. And the amazing thing, it says, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry. But when the judgment came, it says, you shall utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children, and women. So men, what have we been doing? Have we been sighing and crying? Let me tell you this. I've been in Bridgen for a long time. I was born in Bridgen. Some people say you're born in Bridgen. I don't think it's possible, but you know, at 6 years old, I remember asking one of the elders to lead me to the Lord. Because at that time, my father died when I was 5 years old, and I went to the elder and I said to him, you know, I'd like to see my father again. How am I going to do that? And he showed me from God's word how I could do it. I was 6 years old. But I've been in Bridgen for long, and I've watched the numbers dwindle. And it's wonderful to see so many people here at Good Tidings this morning. Because sometimes the seats are empty. But when you come to a prayer meeting, you see how well populated this place is, you know. When it comes to a prayer meeting, whenever you have it, are you going to be here? Are you going to come to cry and sigh? And you say, Brother Eaton, what are you talking about, Brother O'Connor? We can stay home and sigh and cry. We don't need to come to a place like this to sigh and cry. And so I ask you this question. Why does the Lord say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is? Have you been doing that? This is the last Sunday in this year. What is going to be your plan for next year? Are you going to be one of those who sigh and cry? The blood has been shed in this land. Do you think that believers getting on their knees and sighing and crying before God can make a difference? We hear of various organizations, they say they are going out on the streets and they're marching to stop it. Have they stopped it? That's gotten worse. But guess what? God's people can stop it. Because the demonic forces of hell, they are not going to be able to stand against the prayers and the power of the prayer of God's people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in heavenly places. Have we been wrestling? Have we been sighing and crying? Are we home sitting down and watching television or favorite programs? And no matter how the hellers preach and cry and beg you to come, you won't come. Because it's not important. But here God says it's important that his people come out to sigh and cry. And if you don't come, he has a charge against you. He has a charge against you. And you need to pay attention. God is serious. And I know many of us have been struck down in one way or another. And sometimes we are wondering why God is causing so many of us to be sick and some of us are dying. It could be because we failed to sigh and cry. How long have you come? You have not come to a prayer meeting. How many years you haven't come? Remember I told you I was born in Bridget. So I know. Some of us haven't come for the entire year, this year, that is coming to an end. We haven't come. We haven't come to sigh and cry for the abominations that are taking place in the land. Is there any abomination taking place in the United States? Is there any taking place? If there is, then God expects us to sigh and cry. He wants us to get down on our knees. And he says he'll put a mark on those who sigh and cry. That the vengeance, the angels of vengeance, will not touch those who sigh and cry. Do you know there's a whole lot of lessons in this passage? There's a whole lot of lessons in this passage for us. Do you know that God has angels who watch over every nation? I haven't heard too many amens. Do you know that God has angels watching over every nation? Yeah. Yes. And he said, he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, let those who have charge over the city, they were watching. So let me ask you a question. While God's angels are watching and they're reporting back, are they reporting on us that we are doing as God requires? Or are they getting their battle axe ready? Because we have failed to put God first. Oh yes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have a lot of priorities and God is not one of them. And so we get up in the morning and we rush to work. But we will never rush to church. You ever seen anybody rushing to church? Driving the crazy to get here? Oh, we leisurely come because it's God's business and we really don't care too much about that. But when it comes to work, we'll break the sound barrier. Cry and sigh. We must pray. I'm not too sure if the time is gone. I believe it is. We must pray. And I don't know. The elders, you have to make a decision because sometimes the saints don't come on the night that we say they should pray. And I don't know. I'm not here to advise on what to do. But sometimes you could use a meeting like this and let the saints pray. They won't come to pray when we ask them to come. Then use one of the meetings that they come like this. Probably they won't come. I don't know. But if they come to a meeting like this, turn it into a prayer meeting, because something happens when the church pray. Peter was locked up in prison. The church was praying. And while they were praying, the angel of the Lord go and release Peter. And Peter came and knocked at the door. They weren't praying in faith, because I said to the girl who went to open the door, "You're lying. You're not speaking the truth." She says, "Peter's at the door. The answer to your prayer is at the door." But God is so merciful that sometimes when we pray and we're not even praying in faith, He still answers. He's such a wonderful God. Something happens when the church prays. And the prayer meeting is extremely important. It's a power meeting. And sometimes when we are sick and sad and lonely, the scripture says that we should do what? If any among you is what? Sick, let them pray. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. And he prayed what? What's the word that was used here? Earnestly. No wishy-washy prayer. Do you know that word? Because sometimes we pray as if we're still praying our gentle Jesus meek and mild prayer. That's not going to work. Earnestly, he's crying unto God to do something and do it now. And God responded and shut up the heaven the first time he prayed. And the second time he went back and he prayed 3.5 years later. Earnestly. We don't have an account of the prayer that Elijah prayed. But he had a servant who he sent to look. As he was praying for rain from a blue sky. He's praying for God to send rain from a blue sky. Sky's clear. Nothing. What a prayer of faith. You see the sky completely blue out there, and you go down and go down on your knees and start praying for rain. And you send the servant to go and look. One time, the servant come by and say, "Master, there's nothing." Second time, "Master, there's nothing." The seventh time, the servant came back and says, "Master, there is a cloud the size of a man's hand." Let me ask you a question. You think a cloud the size of a man's hand can bring rain? But the man who was praying knew what was going to happen. He said to Ahab, "Get in your chariot and ride fast, because there's going to be an abundance of rain." That's the power of prayer. And so, saints, I'm here to let you know that God has his eyes on us. He's taking notice of what we're doing. You know, there's some assemblies that have people who are in a prayer chain. If something happens and one member of the chain finds out, they call up the others and say, "Listen, sister so-and-so is deadly sick. You need to cry out unto God." And they start. And they start praying. And guess what? On two occasions that I know of, the sickness that had overcome the individual fled. Because those people, they visited the throne of God. And they came together on the phone and they cried out unto God. I remember a brother and elder, he had a stroke. And the assembly, they called a meeting at the assembly. "Brother so-and-so has had a stroke, a good elder, a beautiful, a wonderful man." And the church started praying, and this brother was lying in the hospital. And 2 days later, he was on the radio giving his testimony. You hear me? Prayer works. But if you don't sigh and cry, there won't be no result. So I'm just here today to let you know that it's the end of the year and you're going to be making new resolutions. If you haven't been here for the whole of last year or this year, make sure you're here in the coming year. God has his eyes on you. You get the message. I'm giving you the message that he gave me to give to you. It is your responsibility to come into this place that we call the house of God, the real house of God, is within us.
We are the temple of a living God. Can you believe it? God left that place that they built, and he came and he dwelt within us so that he goes with us everywhere we go. And he has brought us together as a body, the church. And when we come together, you remember what happened in the New Testament? The scripture said, when the church played, the building trembled. Is that a trembling in the building? When the church prayed, the building shook. Can you shake this building with your prayers? I trust these few thoughts will bless your heart.